You are listening to the teaching ministry of Valor Christian Center's Pastors Scott and Tina Witwam.
We're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue to talk about that for the coming weeks. The church needs more empowerment. I'm just saying. The church needs more empowerment. And it seems to me that in many respects, the church has forgotten that it was supposed to be empowered. That it was supposed to be something substantial in this world. Not just an institution with nice buildings and great decorations and that kind of thing. But it's actually supposed to do something, be something, a place for people to find refuge. Refuge from what? From the storms in life. The storms of relationship problems, the storms of financial problems, the storms of health problems, because the Bible has an answer for all of them. And so we need to be empowered, church. We need to be empowered so that when people think about the problems they're having, that they think about the solution. And the solution is not in alcohol, it's not in drugs, it's not in illicit living, it's in God. And you are the representatives. I am the representative. We are all the representatives of God in this earth. And we need to be empowered to do the job. Amen? Amen. Well, let's go to Romans 8:14. We've been using this as our basis scripture. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Father, I desire to be led by you. In everything that I do, from the time I wake up to the time I lay my head down, I want to be listening for your voice to lead, to guide, to direct. That my life, that these lives would be able to hear your voice and impact this world. Impact this world not only with their physical needs, but with their spiritual needs. That the kingdom, that your kingdom, Lord, would be reproduced on this earth to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. Amen. Amen. So let me start with a question today. What did you do this week to allow God to empower and use you? I mean, this is the fourth week we've been talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what have you done? See, we covered 5 points about empowerment, and that was power must be available. And see, we saw that power was available. We saw that it needed to be imparted. And if you're born again, Spirit-filled, the power of God has been imparted to you. That we need to be fully persuaded. That means we must believe. Not only is it a story in the Bible, but that it's a story for your life. We have to believe that what God said is true. We have to be willing. And much of the question I asked has to do with willingness. The power's there. It's been imparted to you. You obviously were persuaded enough to come to the cross, to come and meet Jesus as Lord and Savior. But are we willing? And are we mature enough? Have we obtained the knowledge to know what it is we're supposed to do with God's empowerment? Have you been attending class? You know, you can attend class every day. I mean, especially now with the internet. I mean, there are a lot of good ministers of the gospel that you can listen to on various internet sites, their websites. And you can go right to the source. You can get your textbook out every day and go to school and gain knowledge, because God will use the knowledge that you have in order to impact somebody's life. Because in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now concerning the spiritual, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know how you were ignorant for all those years before you came and received Jesus as Lord and Savior and followed after dumb stuff. Stuff that doesn't pertain to the kingdom of God." See, Paul was being pointed in this, saying that it's time for you to become who God designs you to be. And He designed us to be empowered vessels. The world doesn't need more talk. What they need to see is more exploits. I mean, the church has been talking the world to life for 2,000 years. So much so that it's become like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know? That when people hear you talk about God, all they hear is wah, 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 wah. Because they see no results. There is nothing provoking them to jealousy. There's nothing provoking them to want to be who you are. I mean, if somebody came to me in torn clothes, broke as can be, messed up family, kids, and confused as can be, I don't want to become like them. I don't want what they have. That's why people were drawn to Jesus. I mean, the guy dressed sharp. I mean, he had better clothes than you could get at Brooks Brothers. You know what I'm saying? They gambled for him. How many people are going to gamble for your clothes after you pass away? Jesus was dressed well in very valuable attire. He spoke truth with power. He let his life display in action. He told people, hey, you don't need to go tell anybody about that. Just go, you know, make your offering to the priest. Go, you know, don't tell anybody. But what would happen? I mean, if you've been crippled all your life and you show up walking perfectly normal, or you've been blind all your life and you show up now being able to read, people want to know what happened. I mean, we even see that in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John heal the man at the gate called Beautiful. And the guy's in there and he goes, I have no idea. All I know is that they said, in the name of Jesus be healed, and I was healed. You're the priest. You ought to know what he's talking about. Go ask them. You'll go find out for yourself. And that should be the way it is with your life. Your life should be empowering people to be bragging about Jesus. And so we've been studying these things that we've traditionally called gifts or gifts of the Spirit, but we've seen that it's so much more than that. They literally are endowments, because an endowment is something that is provided freely. And so in 1 Corinthians 12:1, it should say, now concerning these spiritual endowments, because it's not just talking about gifts, it's talking about what God has endowed or given to us. They also can be called manifestations, because a manifestation is an outward visible expression of what the Holy Spirit has done. And that's how our life should be. It should be manifesting the gospel of Christ. So now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in 4 through 6 and look again at the empowerments that it lists here in this chapter. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but it is the same Lord. And there are differences of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And see, when we look at these empowerments, we see that there are nine that are actually listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, and we will be reading some of this. But there's three gifts, there's three ministries, and three activities. And they all work very differently. They are all intended to do something very different. Seven of these nine we've talked about, of these endowments, these gifts, ministries, and activities, were in operation in the Old Testament. So it's not something that was new. They were part of the Old Covenant. And so we looked at some examples in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some more. We'll probably, if we have time, we'll look at least one today. But I'd like to focus on a group of these endowments called the activities. We really started last week when we talked about the gift of healings. The gifts of healings. The gifts of healings are part of these activities. The activities are the do somethings. The activities are what I call the do somethings. Even though God gave us nine endowments that can be broken into these three groups, the activities are the do somethings. See, there's three gifts of utterance. Gifts of utterance. The gifts are the charisma. These gifts of utterance, their prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And these gifts, they say something. This is a group of these endowments that say something. And then there's three ministries of revelation. See, that's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And these three, they reveal something. They show something that only God could manifest, only God could bring to light. And then we have the three activities. And we're going to talk a little bit about these activities today. These are activities of power. These are activities in ergama. That's the word activities. These are faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Because these are the ones that do something. And so I want to start with these. So now let's go to verse 9. Let's read verses 9 and first part of 10 here in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles. So these are the three endowments or the activities that are included here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The neat thing about these activities, they were designed to be active in your life. Now, they do operate, and we'll see that they do operate as the Spirit wills, but they were to be active and operational in your life. And I can tell you that God is looking for people who are willing, remember we talked about that, who are willing. The power is available. The endowment was yours when you received the Holy Spirit. But he's looking for somebody who is willing to allow him to operate through them. We see that often in the early church. Three activities, they always do something. The Greek word here for activities is energema, which I told you. But the root of that word is energeo, and where we get the word energy. In some place, but this word here is where we get the word energy. So these activities, the root of it is energy. There's some kind of energetic action. So energema are basically operations, effect, working, activities. But this here is about energy. It's about power that is put forth to energize something. Now, let me just tell you a little bit of story to kind of, you know, maybe make this a little bit clear. Back, this would have been probably 1981, right? I'm in Future Farmers of America. Anybody ever heard of that organization? I tell you what, the 4-H and the Future Farmers of America do a lot of good for young people in getting them established. And when I was in Future Farmers of America, you know, I was raising sheep at the time, but, you know, on any farm, you've got chickens and ducks and rabbits and all that other stuff that you just have as part of farm life. But one of the things is you got to care for the animals. I mean, they got to have barns, they got to have shelters, you know. And in our modern society, we have learned that when things are operated by mechanical devices or electronic devices, it's a whole lot easier. I remember when we put in the water valve into, you know, the duck waterer. So when the ducks would make the water go low, it would automatically fill it up. I didn't have to go out there twice a day, you know, 5 in the morning and, you know, 8 at night and make sure the ducks had water in their pool and all that. No, we got to all operational. Well, we had this barn, and the barn had one light in it. That was it, one light in this barn. And it had a little workshop, and for the workshop, you had to run an extension cord from over where the little power panel was in there. You know, remember the ones with a little hook on the top and had a little cage around it, you know? So you had to put the little work light in there. And so one of the awards the Future Farmers of America had was for electrical. It was wiring. And so I decided to learn how to wire stuff. I mean, how hard can it be? That's right. If they got an award for it, this must be doable. Now, we didn't have Google at the time. I couldn't take out my cell phone and Google how to do this, right? But I could look and see how it was currently wired. And I figured I can do this. Well, you know, the thing that nobody told me because I didn't ask was that when you are wiring electrical outlets and putting in light sockets, you probably should turn the electricity off because I felt inner gale. I felt this energy. Woo, did I feel the energy? Yes, and so I learned a valuable lesson about activities, about the fact that electricity is active, went on. You know, fast forward to 1989. You'd think I'd know a little bit more by now, right? But you start to get good at electricity, and you know, and when you start, you know, you're always turning off the breakers and stuff, other than the first time when I got zapped real good. Start turning off all the breakers. But as you get better at it, people laugh at you who are in the industry if you're turning off. What are you turning off the breakers for? You know. And so here in 1989, I'm fixing an outlet in the place we're living in. And I don't know exactly how it happened, but there was a pop, a flash, and a fire in the wall. This energy, this activity. And see, these are how the Holy Spirit is to operate. His power should be so energetic inside of you that when he's ready to release, it flows out of you like electricity flowing out of a power connection. So that's this word here. It's supposed to be effective. You know, when I plug the vacuum in, I expect the electricity to be effective, the vacuum to come on. When we turn the lights on, we expect it to be effective and the lights to light up. So now, in verse 10, there's also another word that is used here instead of activities. It's this word working. This word working is the same energema that was used for the word activities. So it is saying to another, activities of miracles. See, miracles should be active. You know, miracles are very interesting because they can be big and they can be small. But I can tell you that when these activities are energized, as the Spirit wills, the manifestation produces some type of profit. Remember, we read in verse 7 how the Holy Spirit is moving for the profit of all. These miracles, the gifts of healings, and the operation of faith here, this endowment of faith, should profit. It doesn't destroy. It always brings about something that is needed. Something that is needed. Okay, so we see that the miracles are an activity. But let's look over here in verse 10 again, because it says to another, not only the working, but the working of miracles. And there's a lot of us who talk about miracles. Again, they can be big and small. But I thought we would go to Webster's 1828, you know, back when they still defined words with English meanings, before modern day wokeness changed the dictionary, and see what this word meant in the English language, miracle. I think I even got it for you here. Yeah. An event or effect contrary to the established constitution and course of things, or a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event. Miracles can be wrought only by almighty power, as when Christ healed lepers, saying, "I will, be thou clean," or calm the tempest, "Peace, be still," or the miracle of the loaves. See, a miracle is something that I can't do by myself. It's something that requires some kind of divine intervention. And again, they can be big and those can be small. But I want you to notice something here in Webster's that I think is very telling of the difference in times. It says that they can only be wrought by almighty power. And the almighty is capitalized because he's talking about God. A miracle can only be wrought by the hand of God. So now let's go back to verse 10 here where it says, to another, the working of miracles. See, according to Webster's, a miracle is something that manifests in contrast to natural law or the natural order of things by the power of God. The Greek word here for miracles is the word dunamis. Does that name sound familiar to you? Dunamis. Did I put that in here? Here we go. Dunamis, a force, specifically miraculous power, usually by implication, a miracle itself, ability, abundance, meaning, might. A worker of miracles, power, strength, might, and wonderful work. So where else do we see the significance of this? Now, I want you to think about the significance of this. We saw that Guillermo, the electricity was part of this. So the activity of this. This is an energetic event connected with dunamis, a explosive power. Because remember, dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. I mean, we don't just give our kids sticks of dynamite and go have fun. Why? Because they are explosive. They are dangerous. See, you should be explosive and dangerous to this world. So go over with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. In Acts 1, 8, it says, "But you shall receive dunamis, explosive power." So when we're talking about these endowments, they are to flow through us. They are to be energized through us. And miracles should operate through this power in explosive type manner. See, that's what miracles are. They make something that is not possible for you to do possible. I mean, how many of us could blow up a cement mixer full of hardened cement inside of it? How many of us could just go up there, take your sledgehammer, and just blow it apart, right? Anybody ever heard of these guys called the Mythbusters? I watched them do it. They filled that thing. The thing's solid concrete. They drill into it. They put the ordnance, the explosives in there. And they had to get back a mile safe zone. Boom! When the dunamis, when the explosive power, that dunamis, that dynamite, that explosive power hit that mixer, it blew it everywhere. Just annihilated it. You can probably find the video on YouTube. It was, I mean, for me, who likes to blow things up, you know, I mean, I like fireworks because I like to blow things up. I thought it was awesome. It was pretty good. But see, that's how your life should be when the Holy Spirit's working through us. And we don't have enough explosive power operating through us because I don't think we have enough willingness in us. Willingness to share the gospel, willingness to declare that God's mighty works, willingness to lay hands on the sick, willingness to stand in the gap and believe the impossible and to see it revealed in people's lives. So the working of miracles is God's power, energized to effectuate an event that is beyond nature. See, this is what made the early church stand out. You probably could look back at your lives and say, well, now I remember this thing could have only happened because of a miracle. Something that should have happened didn't happen, and it exploded in our lives. You know, you shared a story here, Pete, about how you'd worked for a company for 37 years, and then they laid you off. But if I remember right, that time that you got laid off was when there was a transition in this church, right, the pastoral transition of this church, and it gave you and your wife time to be available during the transition time. And then, I mean, in faithful, Pete and Camille were here and did tireless effort and work and working with the organization to make sure that things stayed together here. And then, just like a miracle, they said, hey, we want to give you a promotion. Come back to work and... Did I hear rumors you're getting even close to retirement? You're too young for that. But see, whose miracle was it? Well, Pete got a year off, and if I remember right, you had severance. So it wasn't like you lost a year's pay. He got a promotion at the end of the day, and he was here available to take care of the work of the ministry. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. I remember in 2016, we were facing foreclosure in this church. We had somebody come to this. We needed a certain amount of money. It was for us then. I mean, it was big. I mean, it was a little over five. I mean, we were a little over $5,000 short, and we had a time deadline. We needed the money, and somebody came to this church and attended here for a few weeks. I'm going to say it may have been a couple months, but I don't even think it was that long. And guess what? When they were here, they wrote the check that covered what we needed to avoid foreclosure in this church. See, that's a miracle. I couldn't have made that happen. I couldn't have directed those people to our door. I couldn't have touched their hearts to write the check. But we're still paid for, right? We're here. That's a miracle. God's energy activated by our faith touched the hearts of somebody to come here and meet the need. I mean, you talk about Elijah and the widow woman. I mean, the miracles are without end. Oh, I made a note here too. Something that's also very interesting. You know, sometimes God will do a miracle when it seems that all is lost. You know, I mean, 2014, 2015, you know, and we were fighting these struggles, and the bank was going to take the... In the midst of a year when the finances had dropped, it was a year when the finances went really low. For whatever reason, second lowest in the 8 years that we've been accounting for the finances here, the second lowest year that we'd had, and God provided that miracle. So, explosive. And of course, I'm always thinking of financial miracles just because that's the way my head thinks and the realm that I'm in. But if you thought back on your life, at what point did you not fall off a cliff, get in a crash? I mean, in 2003, when I was hit by the semi-truck, it was a miracle I didn't have anybody in the vehicle with me. And look, I almost look as good as new. I won't go as far, Pete, as saying, never mind. Miracles. That's what we should be living in. The Holy Spirit should be moving on our lives, not just for you, but for the world. Because when the world sees God's hand, and they say, yeah, that's where I want to be. But they're not. You don't see it much in the body of Christ. We look just like the world. We're not attractive. We don't look like the bride of Christ. We should be energized in effecting miracles. I'm going to read this Old Testament example, and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read verses 1 through 7. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So we answered, go. So here they've got a problem. They don't have enough space. They want to build something. So Elisha says, hey, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. Come on, Elisha, come with us. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I mean, can you see how this is a big problem? Things like axe heads were rare. You couldn't just go down to Ace Hardware and get another one, or to Home Depot or Lowe's or one of those places. This axe head is important. And they had borrowed it. How are they going to repay? How are they going to give them another one? How are they going to fix this problem? This is a huge problem. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it there, and he made the axe head float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. See, that's the working of miracles. That's the working of miracles. It was activated in the old covenant. Now, we have a new and better covenant. Amen. And this endowment, this activity, is still available for the church today. And the church, the world needs the church to be operating in this. This should be a testimony of the body of Christ. This should not be unusual. These manifestations should be one of the characteristics that the world knows about us. See, they should be hearing about you. See, and Frank, we talked about that this morning. The world should be hearing about you. Because if they hear about what you're doing, they're going to ask and you're going to say, it's Jesus. I can introduce you to the Master. I mean, that's what Peter and John did. He said, silver and gold don't we have. But in the mighty name of Jesus, rise and be healed. We need to be a church empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen.
You have been listening to a recording from the teaching ministry of Valor Christian Center with senior pastors Scott and Tina Witwam. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray this simple prayer with me now. Jesus, according to Romans 10:9, your word says, if I confess you as Lord and Savior and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, that you would come into my heart and I would be saved. I now confess and believe that you are my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, please contact our office so that we may rejoice together with you. Call Valor Christian Center at 480-545-4321. That's 480-545-4321. Or by email at info@valorcc.com. That's info@valorcc.com. Or by mail to the church address at 3015 East Warner Road, Gilbert, Arizona, 85296.